Pop Culture Meltdown.
Episode 14. It's Chris Libertini. It's Lou Pellegrino. It's Pop Culture Meltdown. How you doing, Louie?
Oh, I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm going to make it. Coming up on this episode, we talk about pizza. Let's get right to it. Let's get right to it, Louie.
Yeah, let's get into it because you told me something and it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, well, I gotta stop the music. The best pizza is not in New York City anymore.
Okay.
Huh?
Where is it?
Huh?
Because I don't know of another place other than possibly Chi-Town.
Or Naples.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Or in Asbury Park, Jersey at Porta.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's a really good pizza spot that I go to quite often.
That'll work. They could sponsor the podcast, too.
Sure, absolutely.
Long story short, it's in Boston.
Really?
It's in Boston's Little Italy, a place called Regina Pizzeria.
And that's the best pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to ask, because we all know El Presidente Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. Has Barstool Sports been there yet?
I don't know.
Because there's only one pizza critic that I trust.
And it's that guy?
And it's El Presidente.
The one bite challenge?
That's right. Everybody knows the rules.
So, long story short, this is bullshit. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Bullshit. It's in USA Today. It's all over the news today. We're recording this on Wednesday, October 17th.
Okay.
And it's come down as that Bleecker Street Pizza is the number two pizza in the nation. The nation.
In the city here?
In the nation.
Wow,
yes.
Good for them.
Bleecker Street Pizzeria, New York City Pizzeria, offers Tuscan-style slices and just added some more seats in this tiny, tiny restaurant.
Interesting.
Then it's Moderna Pizza. It comes at number three in New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay.
They specialize in the Italian bomb with bacon, sausage, pepperoni, mushrooms, onion, pepper, and garlic.
Oof.
And then you have a heart attack.
I'm ready for a nap just after hearing you read the ingredients.
I got the meat sweats
the
just listening to
right.
Them. Seriously. Then number four is a place called Home Slice Pizza, and that's in Austin, Texas. You know what I mean?
Remember when you used to call like your buddy Home Slice?
Home
what
Slice.
Up, what up, Home Slice?
Yo, yo, what it is? So, I mean, this place is a New York style. Now, check this out. Number four is a Texas place imitating to be a New York place.
Okay.
What? I don't get it.
Well, that's like when you drive around the country. If you ever, you know, in the car with some friends, some buddies, significant other, what have you, and you're going on your tour of the, you know, the United States, and you always find that one bagel shop or that one pizza place, the way off Broadway bagel shop.
Right.
It's like,
of course.
And you're in Omaha, Nebraska.
But at the same point, well, what makes it a New York style slice? Do they get the water shipped from New York City?
Yep.
If they do, all right.
Yeah.
Now we're moving.
New York water and dough need to be.
Yeah. Now we're moving.
Together.
Amen.
I knew a guy when I was younger. I spent a lot of my time down in Orlando, Florida, and there was a Italian restaurant that my family and friends would like to go to a lot because the guy who was the owner would have New York water shipped to Florida because
amazing.
I haven't had any Florida water in years, and this would be a great segment for, or this would be a great topic for This Is Florida, but we won't do it now. Florida water is not very good. And so the guy who ran the Italian restaurant would have, you know, gallons and gallons and gallons and jugs of water sent from New York. And I think it was just tap water, like his family members who would do it for him.
New York City tap water.
And
they fill up gallons.
Yes, and they would do is they would ship it down to Florida, and his pizza tasted just like home.
Well, you rent a container. You rent a shipping container.
Mm-hmm.
And then the family just goes to the thing. They spend $45 on the thing. The thing.
You know, I got to do my thing. You know,
the jugs.
Yeah, and you like jugs, I know.
That's the way it would be shipped out, old school.
Who doesn't like jugs?
Now, let's talk to me about... You know, you're thinking the top five pizzas, this is in the whole nation.
Right.
Mind you, not the contiguous United States. Louis, what does contiguous mean?
The connected? I have
look at you,
see
boobie.
That?
Hey, listen.
And isn't it contiguous?
Contiguous.
Is it contiguous?
Yeah, the reason why is
you have a voiceover and you have to say that,
because
you
had to say that a bunch of places.
Of course.
You know, only
not available to residents in Alaska, Florida, and California.
Alaska, Hawaii. And that's it.
In the District of Columbia. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's all connected. Yeah. That's contiguous.
Okay, contiguous.
So this is not obviously the contiguous United States, because number five clocks in from Hello, Anchorage, Alaska.
Really? Doing a Lloyd Lindsey Young impression.
Hello.
Very nice.
You like that?
For those of you who don't know who Lloyd Lindsey Young is, Chris and I, when we were growing up, he was a weatherman on Channel 9 WOR, and that's what he would do. And I guarantee you, you could find the Lloyd Lindsey Young news or weather broadcast. See if you could pull that up on YouTube quickly right now, and let's play that. It's just absolutely amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, it's going to be nippy in them Nar Hills tonight. Hello, Atlantic Highlands! All right, they're having a big fundraiser down there at a restaurant for the Children's Fund, and this is to help care for young cancer patients at Mount Sinai Hospital. So everybody in Atlantic Highlands, show up! A great cause.
What a legend.
I was in Atlantic City for a similar fund last weekend.
Man.
Teens in our area, 20s down to the south, 70s in southern Florida. Did you know yesterday in North Dade County, north of Miami, it was 90? 90? Incredible. I don't know if I can go on after that.
He was the best.
Lloyd Lindsey Young.
I think he's still alive, Lloyd Lindsey Young. He retired not too long ago.
We got to get him on the podcast.
But he was unbelievably funny. He was doing things, you know, like everybody in New York. If you're a New York kid growing up, you knew two guys in the news. You knew a lot of people in the news. But the two guys who always stuck out for me, Lloyd Lindsey Young, because of the hello, that always stuck out for me. And Warner Wolf with the Let's Go to the Videotape.
Let's go to the videotape.
Madison Square Garden, yep. Knicks, Bulls. Patrick Ewing gets the ball at the top of the key, jumper, swish. And he would, and that's how he would do it.
Yep.
But before he would, then the camera was on him, the ISO shot on him. Before we went to the highlights, he would say.
ISO for everybody else means isolated shot.
Right, an
come
isolated shot of Lloyd Lindsey Young. He would go, let's go to the videotape. All right, Celtics at Madison Square Garden. Larry Bird, Dennis Johnson, Robert Parrish taking on Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley. 3 minutes into the first quarter, here's Patrick Ewing underneath with the dunk. You know, and Gerald Wilkins for three, swish. You know, he was just great.
Super great. He actually loved him. He actually worked here for a little bit while I was here, so I got a chance to work with him.
Very nice.
And of course, you know, admittedly in the end of the career, but you know, I still got a cup of coffee with him.
Very, very, very funny Warner Wolf story.
Sweetheart.
Very funny Warner Wolf story though. I'm a young college student at Nassau Community College, and I get to cover my first press conference. My first press conference ever was when out at Hofstra University, which is a college out on Long Island where the New York Jets used to hold their training camp and their camps. That's where they used to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're in, I think it's Florham Park, New Jersey, and it's a little bit closer, obviously, to where their stadium is. But the Jets, for years, used to practice out at Hofstra out on Long Island. I go to my first ever press conference as a credentialed member of the media, as a college student, the day they announce that Bill Parcells is going to be coming to the organization, but Bill Belichick will be the head coach in waiting. And so this is the beginning of the Bill Belichick, I resign as the HC of the NYJ that he wrote on like a little piece of paper, and then he ended up going to New England, and we all know the rest is history. But Warner Wolf is there. And Warner Wolf is asking a question of Bill Belichick. But the funny thing is, you don't remember Bill Belichick as being a nice, funny, joking guy. Well, this was before he went to New England. He was kind of still in that, hey, I'm okay with the media, instead of giving you the only one-word answer where you were on to Cincinnati. So Warner Wolf goes to ask a question. And right before he asks the question, Bill Belichick, with a huge grin on his face, goes, hey, Warner's back. Because Warner Wolf had left. I think he went to Washington, D.C. or something. He left New York to go work out of state and then came back. So the fact that a guy like Bill Belichick notices Warner Wolf is back, and it just, a whole laugh went over everybody in the crowd. And I'll never forget that moment to this day. It's just
amazing.
A little story from my early career in this sports media game that I'm in.
So let's talk about this seriously. We're still talking about pizza.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Number five pizza. Anchorage, Alaska.
That is shocking.
Like, their number one pizza slice is called the Amazing Apricot. And it's stone-baked pizza.
Well, here's what we have to do, because I work with a couple of people who are from the Boston area.
And this is based on TripAdvisor, by the way.
Okay.
TripAdvisor came out with this.
But I also have a friend who was born in Alaska.
Right.
So what I might have to do is send out a message to him. And see, I don't want to name drop because he's a former NBA player from Anchorage, Alaska. You could try to figure out who it is if you want. But I want to ask him. I also work with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, and I'm sure he's had many, many, many slices of pizza.
Bob Ryan of Sports Reporters fame?
Yes, of course.
Wow, he's famous.
Of course. I produced that, the Sports Reporters podcast. That's why I work with Bob Ryan.
Amazing.
And so I think what we can do is I'm going to reach out to some people who live in the New England and Alaska area and just say, hey, is this legit? You know,
yeah, we'll do some research.
Yeah, I really want to see if this
is right. We'll do grassroots movements here.
Because, you know, everybody has their favorite pizza joint. Everybody has it. Me, it's Rose's Pizzeria right on Grand Avenue in the town that I grew up with, Maspeth, Queens. Mm-hmm. And they're an institution. They are the pizza that you grow up eating because everybody in the neighborhood goes to Rose's and you get your slices to go or your pies to go. And it's still, for me, the best pizza I've ever had. Not to say that I'm going to discriminate against other pizzas from other states, but I lived in Chicago for 3 years. I love deep dish pizza. And I hate when people get into that conversation of which is better, deep dish or regular Neapolitan New York style pizza, because you know what? It's all delicious.
It's all amazingly delicious.
Right.
And getting back to our cheese conversation from the other day, you need a nice cheese with this. There's no American cheese on any pizza.
No, God, no.
No. That's sacrilege.
A little bit of mutz and you're good.
Mutz. Nice. Little olive oil. Some, what's the green stuff?
Pesto?
No. The other green stuff?
Basil.
There you go.
Okay.
Some basil. Nice.
Parsley.
Parsley. Nice.
Yeah. And I like all different types of pizzas. You know, people get mad when I say, I like Hawaiian pizza. Yeah, you know, every once in a while I like a little pizza with ham and pineapple on it. I like a little pizza with green onions, peppers, and ham. You know, I like things differently. I have everybody, well, not everybody. My wife says I have an unsophisticated palate.
Well, she calls you je drool. You know,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You know, that's what I can't even say it. That's what the je drools. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what the je drools eat. You know what I'm saying? They eat that stuff. All the je drools. See, now I can say it. Now it's rolling off the tongue.
Oh, yeah. It's rolling up your tongue like olive oil. It's,
you know,
olive oil. It's
based
smooth.
On our Mama Luke conversation the other day, I brought that up at baseball this past weekend. I brought that up like 16 times. I had a bunch of Italian guys playing with me over the weekend.
You told them the story.
And I was like, hey, this guy's a Mama Luke.
Did you tell them the story?
Of course I told them the story.
Oh, my God.
I prefaced it with that and then called everybody a Mama Luke the whole entire day.
Real quick story. Mama Luke really just means like stupid ass.
Right.
In Italian.
Right.
So you call somebody a Mama Luke, that means you're a dumbass.
You're a dumbass.
So my I have two best friends. One's an Irish kid from Queens. The other one's an Italian kid from Queens. We were the three amigos. We grew up. We played wiffle ball together, baseball, what have you. Long story short, my Irish friend says, you know, Sal's mother, I don't think she likes me very much. And he's like, really? I go, really? Why not? She just seems to like you more. I said, well, that's because I'm Italian. And he says, well, do you know of anything that I could say to her in Italian, like a greeting? Maybe she'd like me a bit more. I said, yeah, when you see her, call her a Mama Luke.
Amazing.
And he does that, and she just went off. She's like, what do you mean I'm a mama? I'm no mama. Oh, it was so funny. Lewis told me to say, he wouldn't say that about me. He goes, what did you tell me to call her? I said, you called her a stupid ass. He goes, I hate you. And it was, you know, obviously funnier in the moment, but still, it's just one of the best jokes I think I've ever played on a buddy, because he's the one who's always dishing out the jokes.
Right, of course.
So I got him big time, which was nice.
It's amazing. What else we got, Louie? We talked about pizza. We got John Batchelor coming up.
Yeah, but pizza's always good. You know, we should actually ask John about pizza. I think we should ask John about
pizza. What his favorite pizza is?
Well, you know, listen, John's a very, very worldly individual. I'm sure he's had every bit of pizza. Now watch, as soon as we ask him the question, I've never eaten pizza.
Right. Well, do they have pizza in Bryn Mawr?
I don't like pizza. Pizza, the cheese, it sticks to your arteries. I'm not about that. I have to work on my John Batchelor impression.
Bachelor is a learned impression.
Mm.
But do you see the guy? I'll bust in with this.
Uh-oh. Calling an audible.
The movie Solo.
Yeah.
Right? You saw it in the theaters?
I liked it, yes.
Okay. So it obviously had your boy, Alden Ehrenreich, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the new Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I thought they could have done a better job picking a different Han Solo.
True.
But he did well. He did well.
He wasn't horrible.
He did well. You know what? I was just hoping that they found someone that may have resembled Harrison Ford,
right.
A younger Harrison
right.
Ford a little bit more.
Right.
I always think of Harrison Ford as like this tall guy, and I felt that he was very short.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everybody looks short standing next to Chewbacca.
This is very true. So what some rapscallion did was they put Han Solo, they digitally remastered.
Okay.
Lou is now going to hold this.
And hey, I'm holding a phone, people. Holding
a
phone,
they digitally remastered Harrison Ford's face
into
the movie. So they put him over Alden's face, and it's now Harrison Ford in the movie Solo, young Harrison Ford.
That's pretty cool.
It looks fucking awesome.
That looks really cool.
Does it not look fucking awesome?
That looks great.
Exactly correct. So this is also the same technology that they used for Superman to take away his mustache when he was filming Mission Impossible. Same kind of technology. But this is a fan-made trailer that took, they say it took a long time.
Send that to me, please.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
And what I just showed Lou, what I just showed Lou was on, it's on Polygon.
Okay.
Not a website to meet multiple people and have sex with them. This is a place Star Wars. Well, it says Polygon. I mean, who knows? It's, you know, the year 2018.
Polywog,
right, exactly. Mm, uh-huh. So this one's labeled Harrison Ford is the star of Solo, a Star Wars story, thanks to deep fake technology, which is what it's called, which is tremendous.
Well, they did that with Grand Moff Tarkin and Princess Leia at some point, too,
correct.
Didn't they?
Yeah, but how, I mean...
Because Peter Cushing's been dead for years, but he showed up in Rogue One.
And his family approved that.
Yes, of course.
They went to his family. They said, listen, we want to bring back Grand Moff. And, you know, actually, secretly, that was his pet name for his wife's genitalia. That's what he used to call his wife's genitalia back in the day.
Are you serious?
Grand Moff.
You're just trying to be funny. You're just trying to be funny.
It's a little Star Wars humor for you,
uh-huh,
kids.
Uh-huh, yeah. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that was when that was funny.
Well, I mean, listen, this deep fake technology is absolutely tremendous.
Me like it.
I think it's so cool
yeah.
that they could literally just, and it's a fan that did it. It's sure. not like a
you
know,
sir,
it, right.
I tip my cap to you.
Right, it's not like Industrial Light and Magic is up there making it happen.
Right.
You know, they're just doing their thing.
And then, send that to me, please.
I just sent it to you just now. And here's what I
want to... In an email or a text?
It's a text message.
Thanks. I just got it, pal.
We both have iPhones. So here's the deal. You've heard of Stranger Things?
Yes, of course. I see Stranger Things every time I record with you.
That's funny. There's a show on Netflix. Maybe somebody have heard of it. It's called Stranger Things. There's a gentleman, there's an actor on there who was a kid when it first started. His name is Caleb McLaughlin.
Yep.
Do you know who we're talking about?
Is he the African American boy on the show?
This is quite true.
Yes, I definitely know who he is.
And
he can sing.
He can dance.
He's awesome.
He can act.
He's awesome.
Unbelievable, right? You know how old he is now?
17.
That's exactly correct. How did you just take a shot in the dark?
I took a shot, and I actually follow him on Twitter because I'm a huge fan of the show.
Well, there you
All
go.
The kids on the show are fantastic.
Well, he plays a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Well, hey, listen.
And now he's going to be a 17-year-old.
Good for him.
A 13-year-old.
Good for him. If he could get that work for as long as he can as a young kid, I mean, he's going to have a great career. Emmanuel Lewis did it. Ralph Macchio did it.
Let me ask you a question.
Gary Coleman did it.
When you're 17 years old, what happens to your voice?
Gets deeper.
Right. So he's going to be like this, yo, man. Yo, that's why a do Debbie you have to Gorgon.
Why do you
that's
have to,
a Debbie Gorgon.
Why do you got to take it that way?
Because that's what he says. That's what he sounds like on the show. He's like, oh, screw the Demi Gorgon. We got to get out of here. And he's a tremendous actor, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But can you imagine? He walks in. He's like, yo, guys, the Demi Gorgon, the crazy Demi Gorgon. We got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And he jumps behind the wheel and starts driving. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's just me. But the guys that are his classmates are 15, 16, and Millie Bobby Brown is 14 years old. He's the oldest one of them all.
It happens, though. Dude, Luke Perry was 40 years old, and he was in high school on 90210. I mean...
Yeah, but that was Luke Perry.
Yeah, all right.
He was also 1996.
All right, well, so was Gabrielle Carteris, who played that latter... No, what was her name? Andrea Zuckerman. She was like 30 years old and in high school.
Gabrielle Carteris is now the head of AFTRA, SAG-AFTRA. So she's a former actress or still an actress, and now she's in charge of the union.
Ah, okay.
You know what I think she does? Make a whole lot of money for doing
I'm
a whole
sure
lot of
she enough. Does.
But God bless her. Good for you, Gabrielle Carteris. And what was the name of the
Peach Pit?
The rag that she worked on.
Oh, the Daily. Oh, West Beverly. No, what was it? I could text my buddy right now. Hold on. Hold on one second. Don't tell me the answer. Give me 2 seconds and we could trim this. So the newspaper, what news? Hold on. What? I'm texting my best friend right now because he was like a huge 90210 fan. What newspaper did Andrea Zuckerman work for? What is it?
Louie, what did you think it was?
Oh, God. I thought it was like the West Beverly something or other.
Come on.
Chronicle.
Keep it going. Go one letter back.
The West... Beverly Times?
No. What did you just say?
The West Beverly Chronicle.
And I said one letter back from C.
I have no
idea. West Beverly, and you said Chronicle, and yeah. I said it's one letter back. So it's got to start with a B.
Oh. The West Beverly Bulletin?
The West Beverly Blaze.
Oh.
And that was Andrea Zuckerman.
Got it.
Who actually, 16 years old, was 29 at the time. So she was 29 trying to play somebody that was 16. And
jeez.
Then she got pregnant in the show's fifth season.
Oh,
and
God.
The writers wrote her off.
Crazy.
So there you go. Listen, we've done amazing things on this episode. We talked about pizza. We talked about Andrea Zuckerman, a.k.a. Your girl, Gabrielle Carteris. We talked about the West Beverly Blaze.
Oh, God.
We talked about Han Solo. We talked about deep freeze technology. Did he get it right?
Yeah, of course
your
he
boy
did.
Just texted you back.
He just texted me back now. Of course. Thank you.
And he texted back the West Beverly Blaze?
Of course he did.
It's amazing. And is that a gentleman who I used to work with?
No. This is my best friend. My best friend who I told the Mama Luke story.
Right. Is he straight?
Absolutely. He's married with two kids.
So
this is
a straight man.
Straight man. No joke.
Knows off the cuff 20 years after this thing is gone that it's the West Beverly Blaze. Knew it right off the cuff.
Yes.
Wow. It's impressive.
Hold on 1 second.
It's impressive.
I'm texting him back. He's like, why do you need to know this? And I'm like, because I'm talking about, we're talking Bev on a podcast. It's so funny because this is the guy who, if I called him up on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night, whatever night the show aired, hey, come on, let's go to the park and shoot some hoops. It's a Bev night. I can't go out.
A Bev night?
A Bev night, because he was Beverly Hills 90210.
Stop.
So he would say, it's a Bev night.
Stop.
His wife, when they were dating,
yes.
She would call him up and he would answer the phone if the show was on. Are you nuts?
We've all been there.
Of course.
We've all been there.
But that's the funny thing. I love my wife, but my grandmother does this. My mother, my sister, my wife does this.
Are you nuts?
No. There's nothing worse than when someone during a big moment in a sporting event that you're watching on TV, when they decide, oh, I have to just get something and it's right in this drawer that's in front of the TV. You're going to jump in front of the TV now. There's two strikes in Game 7 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets have the bases loaded and the tying run on third. They're not going to be in the World Series, but it was just wishful thinking
you
on my
know.
Part.
You never know.
Yeah, right,
listen,
exactly.
We sign every single free agent, and our pitching comes together like they said it would. And, I got a bridge in Brooklyn if you want to buy it. 26 cents. Anyway, Pop Culture Meltdown. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. What else are we on? Pandora?
We're all over the place.
We're all over the place. Call your mom. She listens. She loves it. She absolutely loves it. And we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram @popculturemeltdown. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.